opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. And it is a Friday, February the 24th, 2017. Just want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. And anytime if you'd like to jump in on the conversation, give us a call at 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, and hit **. That will unmute you. We'll see you on in the queue, and we'll definitely bring you up. So everyone, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. You can do that by going to Black Talk Radio Network's website, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. And there you'll see in the far right-hand margin the donation prompt that's there. Join us. And you'll see it in green and white, the holding hands. You can hit that icon, and it will lead you into how you can give some of your financial energy to ensure that Black Talk Radio Network and all the programs that are brought to you by this network are continue to bringing you on air and bringing you substance that you have deemed necessary and critical and important. So you could do that by giving some of your financial energy, that because now it is in the hands of not only the show host and Scotty, and it's actually in you, the listeners' hand, as to how this network continues to grow and is necessary for us to definitely feed the roots so that it can continue to bear good fruit. Also, Black Talk Radio Network has established a social. Okay. Got you, Scotty. Also, Black Talk Radio Network, let me make sure it's not on my side, Scotty. Black Talk Radio Network has established a social media network as well known as BTR Community. And you can find that by just underneath the donation prompt. You'll see a B that's there, and you can hit that icon, and that will lead you into how you can be a part of Black Talk Radio Network social media network known as BTR Community, or you can find it on www.btrcommunity.com. And the social media network is where you can engage in some of your social media activities without being adversely affected by those that use the mainstream media. And believe me, it's pretty much everyone. They do background checks through there on you and everything else. And so that you won't be adversely affected for your opinion, for your views, some of the things that you post, you know, and it's very, and you know, I think that social media has its place, but it's really become a very dangerous gossip channel. What I mean by that is not so, you know, there is some gossip, there is some real good information, but what happens is that you get characterized by some of the things that you post and what you say on there, and that is being used against you. So I think it's very, very important for you to go to a place where you don't have to be worried about being adversely affected for what you say. And, you know, that is a big difference than in other networks, other social media networks, where you will. Many don't know that they have been adversely affected employment-wise and so many different ways. So come on over to BTR Community, only $24 a year, and that's the only place that I post anything of you know, that I see of substance. I no longer post the mainstream Fed book and everything else. So come on over. Also, if you would like to acquire real money and you like to save in real money, you can go to Prosperity Mint. Excuse me, Prosperity Mint. That's ProsperityMint.com, and you can see what's in inventory. Then email wolf6pack1@gmail.com before you make the purchase, so someone can explain to you the proper way in purchasing. What's up, Ross? And very, very, very important that you do that. Also, if you would like to acquire some Girl Scout cookies, you can also text me at 951-790-8330. And on March the 24th, the Vault Media Group is going to have a family business private wealth seminar in Dallas, February the 25th, 2017, next month. And it is going to be from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m., and the tickets are $100 for couples and $125 for singles. And this is for the family business private wealth that's going to be put on by Vault Media Group. I will be there. I'm going to look forward to meeting some of you there. And if you would like to know more about that, you can go to BTR Community, and it's posted there, or you can text me at 951-790-8330, and I will send you the e-bite for that. So very, very important. Okay, with that being said, man, let's get into today's show. And I'm going to tell you, before we get into today's show, Brother Bragg sent me an article that kind of, this is why I was a little late today. I couldn't really, I was so taken back by it. And I was just getting ready to prepare for the show, and then, you know, I happened to look and saw what Brother Bragg sent me. I need to, and I, you know, what Brother Bragg sends is always good to go, but I just need to do some further for the article source, not from Brother Bragg, but from what Brother Bragg sent me that was, you know, characterized. And so I wasn't shocked, but I just wanted to see where we really are and how fast things are deteriorating. I know the speed of things, but the boldness of it all. And so I'm going to hold off. And I didn't post it inside of BTR only because I wanted to do some other things. But, you know, thank you, Brother Bragg, because you sent me that one, and that one made me sit down for a minute and just read some things. And then, you know, Brother Braggs, if you could, unmute yourself real quick. I just want to say, man, that one took me by a real, you know, that one really got me, Brother Bragg. So I'm going to have to take a look and do a little more in it before I'm even able to talk about it. And you know what it is. Hey, Brother Braggs, what's going on?
Peace, Dad. Hey, look, Dad, I've been reading so many articles on these boys. They're about to lose their minds right about now, man. You know what it basically comes down to? We got so much information coming out now about who we are and what we are. And then the thing that really blows my mind, these boys are deporting people right now, whether you're paying attention to it or not.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And this last bill to take the names, to change the names from no more Negro, colored, black, Oriental American. All of these names have to do with status. Now, just imagine you in your own country, but you don't know you're in your own country. So when they question you on status, you say, you can say many things. You can say you're not a citizen. You can say you're a citizen and you belong to the government. There's many things you could say. But what if you were to say that you're an indigenous all of your time? You've always been here. That gives you a whole other status. That means you're owner of the land. You're not just owner land. But that's a whole other conversation. It's this thing I study so much about.
You have legal standing. You have legal standing. Exactly.
Thank you, sir. And thank you.
Yeah, you have legal standing. But Brother Braggs, you know the article I'm talking about, right? The one that sat me down.
Well, about five today,
yeah.
Dad.
Yeah, I posted a bunch of them. You'll see once we get in the news. But the last one you sent me that sat me down. I said, wait. I gotta spend some time on this one. So, and we will. And then Brother Braggs, it was the one about Indians in India.
I told you before when they mentioned this status, they trying to set us up, man. Everybody got to pay attention to this.
You
off your home country and put you in a country you're not even from because you don't know what your status is.
Yeah, so true. If you could, Brother Braggs, I'm going to do some. I would love to see that from that individual's Twitter account, if you can find it. I know it's there in the article, but if we could find that, you know, that.
Okay. I see what you're saying. You want the date and the heading. I'll get that for you.
No. The date and the heading is there. Everything is there.
Oh, okay.
The article is everything is there. It's just the Twitter one. I would love to find that.
And
I'm gonna put it out for everyone because I'm not that good at internet. Scotty, you there?
Yeah, peace, Brother Braggs. Please check out the podcast I just posted. It's also on our Fedbook channel for Black Talk Radio Network, one of the many outlets that we push our propaganda out through. But check out the interview I did with a Hawaiian and their so-called status. And I just published that about maybe 30, 40 minutes ago. It's a podcast. It's also on the YouTube channel. So check out that 11-minute interview, and it'll blow your mind, you know, about how it's right there in your face, how they just kid, you know, just anybody know the history of Hawaii know that it is a kingdom, a monarch, that they just went in there with the U.S. Navy and took it over. And she talks about the history of how they kept changing their status and all of that. And then how also they're involved in human trafficking, meaning anybody incarcerated in the modern slavery, they got the prisons at the airport, and then they ship them to Arizona, Oklahoma, put them in these private prisons for, guess what, real slave labor, where it's fit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So check out that interview,
Scotty,
please.
I want you to do me a favor, if you could.
Yeah.
If you got time or whatever, because I know you're real good. And this goes for all of our Tando Radio Show listeners. I want, everyone here, if you could do me a favor, because I'm not that good with the social media and all of that other stuff.
Okay.
There's a Twitter, a Donald Trump's Twitter account from February the 13th of 2017 at 6:18 a.m. If anyone can pull that up, and it's a tweet about Indians. And if you could find that, and it's two of them particularly, one at 6:18 a.m. in the morning and one at 6:23 a.m. in the morning on February the 13th of 2013. And it's two tweets, and it has regarding Indians. If you can find that.
Yes, I found something. I found something that was written on this website about 2 weeks ago. Says Trump wants to deport American Indians to India. Is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And they had the tweet.
Yeah.
I'll read it to you.
Yes.
I want those Indians back in India ASAP. Delicious food, love korma, but dangerous people with bows and arrows. Get smart, U.S. illegals out. Now, this was published February the 13th on 2017.
Yep.
Then he tweeted, Indians think they can come to U.S., smoke pipes, and take away our land. No chance. I may send them back to India. Illegals, get out. The White House has announced that Indians will be given a 3-month period. Now, this might be some satire stuff right here. I had to do some more investigation, about this website. So let's see what this is, who this is.
Yeah.
But I just Googled it. But wait a minute, wait a minute. I could check it, though. But wait a minute. This is supposed to be the real embedded link. So let me just click on it. No, that's just an image. That's not really a link.
Yeah, that's an image. It's an image. If you can find, if we can find that, I mean, because
it would take a little time.
This is still true.
Yeah, it would take a little time. But
either way, this is being actually. This is the movement of this is true. The direction of this, the intention of this, is very, very true. I just think that it tells a different position as to where
it's
we
propaganda
really are.
Either way. It's propaganda either way. It has the same effect on people in creating fear and hysteria, whether it's true or not.
Yes, it sure does. And so this one really took me back, and it sat me down when Brother Bragg sent that to me. And I was like, so we're going to definitely follow up on this because this is really, really important. So let's jump into today's show. We're going to jump in into what's in the news. Hold on, Brother Bragg. Let me mute the background noise, and then we'll come back to you at any time. Hold on one second. So that's something that I wanted to do. All right, so let's jump into today's show. And let me get set here. Today's show is going to be about, one second, had everything. Today's is the 24th, is how bread will cost you $50,000. Excuse me, how bread will cost you $50,000 is no accident, but the economic direction for America. That's for
Brother
today's
Dave,
show, how bread will cost you.
Yeah,
go ahead, Scott.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but that line has come back. It's a whole lot of interference in it, and that could be for whatever reasons, whether it's poor performance on the network that you on or somebody always listening in. Do us a favor. I'm going to go ahead and play some music, hang up, and call back in to reestablish that connection, because it could also be the internet, too, as well. So if you'll do that for us so that we could, you know, provide the listeners with a better audio experience.
Okay. What do you want me to do, Scotty?
Just hang up and call back in, too.
Definitely. I sure will. All right.
All right, y'all. We will be right back as soon as we try to resolve Dave's audio issues.
Okay, we're back. Scotty, can you hear me? Is this a little better?
Yes, sir. We'll give it time, but you sound better already. Go ahead.
Okay. So we're going to pick back up where we were. And today's show is how bread will cost you $50,000. $50K is no accident, but the economic direction for America. And that's what today's show is going to be about on this Friday. It's a financial Friday. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. I think it's very, very important that we have this show today, and I'm looking forward to it. So let's jump into some of the things that's in the news. Okay? And before we do that, there was something that I want to bring to your attention that I was made aware of. And because it, to me, it's really, really important that we do it. So let's go ahead and definitely jump into that. So, okay. Got you straight. Strategic melanin. I got you. I will send you that. All right. One second, everyone. Pull this up real quick. There was something that happened. Uh-oh, don't tell me I lost it. No, I didn't. Okay, all right. Give me one second. I had to reposition stuff. So something that's very, very important. I want to start with this for today's show before we even get into the news. There was, and I want everyone to do yourself a favor. quietly do yourself a favor. And I mean, when I mean quietly, I think that it's very, very important that we stop shouting and that we start whispering. And I say that for a reason, because we have to be the powerful individuals that we are. We cannot lose our overall structural integrity by losing it in unmeaningful ways. Okay? I think that we need to be very, very precise and calculated and have an asymmetrical approach to everything. So what I want everyone to do is I want you to check your overall standings with your accounts, with the financial institutions that you're with, regardless of what they are, credit union, major bank, small bank, anything, doesn't matter. And the reason why I say that is because there was a notice that was sent out to some people from a credit union, and it was a small credit union, relatively small credit union. But it was, and I'm going to give you the name of the credit union. It was Suncoast Credit Union. And what I want you to do is everyone should be checking their overall statements and all of the information that you're getting from your financial institutions, because what could happen is that you can find out that you are – What can happen is that if you are not aware as to your standing with that institution, it may adversely affect you and your family in a very big way. And the reason why I say that is because I want you to check the changes to terms and conditions on your account and be updated by the terms and conditions. I would say whatever your financial institution is, go to the terms and conditions of your account and reread them from their website as to what it is now and find out. But do this strategically. Don't go and put them on blast, because you're not going to put them on blast. The only thing you're going to do is put you on blast. Be smart about this. Find out what it is and be quiet, but have all of the moves necessary to protect you and your family. Okay? Some of the terms and conditions. There's a notice that went out to some credit unions. And there was a notice that said, effective February the 1st, 2017, which is already passed, the following additions have been made to the membership and account agreement section of this credit union. Account agreement and disclosure. And what it said was that this was the rights to restrict service and account access. Says that, and I'm going to tell you, it's not just this financial institution. You need to check. You'll be surprised at pretty much all of them. And actually, every single one of them are following this right now. And don't get mad at the people at the institutions. They aren't instituting this. This isn't a policy that they're making. This is above the people that you can complain to at the bank. This has nothing to do with that, because you have to be careful of that, all right? This goes way beyond, but you need to protect yourself accordingly. Here's what it says. Rights to restrictions, services, and account access. We reserve the right, talking about the institution, the financial institution, and everyone, in order to be in the banking institution, they have to follow a charter that's put off by the same charter of all the banks, because they're one big private organization, and they're a big franchise. So it goes on. We reserve the right to restrict, deny, suspend, or terminate credit union services, not just credit unions, is banks in itself, banking institutions as well, and or your ability, you, and or your ability to access or withdraw account funds at any time. For any reason, without notice to you, in our sole discretion, to the maximum extent permitted under applicable law. This is when we first did our very first show on Tando Radio Show. We told you what the G7 said in Brisbane, Australia. that cash is no longer money. And we told you about how the banking rules had changed because of the Seventh Circuit Court saying that whenever Seventh Circuit Court of Appeal back in 2013 or 12, can't remember right now, where when you deposit your cash into a bank, it's no longer yours. It's theirs. You are not under Glass-Steagall anymore. You are under Dodd-Frank's and the Volcker Rule. Meaning, when you give your cash to that bank, it's no longer yours. You gave it to them to invest it for you. And all investments are subject to market laws. Did you hear what they said here in this terms? We restrict the right to service and account access. We reserve the right to restrict, deny, and suspend, to terminate credit union services and or your ability to access or withdraw accounts anytime for any reasons without notice to you. In sole discretion, what does that mean in sole discretion? Whatever they feel like. See, and this is important for you to know so that you'll have a more honest relationship with these institutions. Now, your local banker isn't the one that wrote this. They have no control over this. So be wise. Don't get yourself flagged by going down there and raising all kinds of this, that, and that. Because the only thing you're going to do is hurt yourself. What you need to know is what is the current movement and what is the current standing that you need to know so that you can effectively protect yourself. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is the policy of every institution if they tell you it or not. They don't even have to tell you, but it's there. So this is something that is very, very important and is going to be somewhat a part of today's show. This is what you need to know. And I wanted to start with this first and foremost so that you know. Now, should you play this? Do not, if you've already established banking relationships, do not just go and close all your accounts. It's not the appropriate thing to do because you're going to get yourself in all kinds of flags that way. One of the things that I suggest that you do is that you use the institutions for what you should be using them for. But what you should be doing is saving yourself and saving your labor and saving your energy and saving into prosperity by different means and methods that protect you. Very important that you know these things and you have an appropriate response to it, because your response to it is critical. Because what we're trying to do here at Tando is to prevent you from being in the lines that are going to be there at any given time. One of the reasons why you're starting to see a lot of banks closing, where they're just putting ATMs everywhere, because there is no human interaction that you can have with a ATM. And if it's offline, what are you going to do? Nothing but leave. You may kick it, you may do that, but you're not going to move anything. Now's the time for you to be very asymmetrical and strategical in your response to things. Because if you don't, it is going to adversely affect you. You're responsible for what you know. And now you're responsible for what we just said to you. You can't alleviate yourself of that. But what you can do is you have a choice on how you're going to respond to it. So I highly suggest that you do what's appropriate in that case. And in my opinion, don't close the accounts. You're only going to get a flag for yourself. But use them in accordance to with the rules and the stipulations that they told you. They told you, so you can't say you didn't know. You can't say you didn't know. Prepare yourself accordingly, ladies and gentlemen, because what is going to be happening is going to be a global switch and a global change, a wealth transfer like nothing that we've seen in our given moment in eternity here in this physical form. Nothing else will compare to it. Nothing on multiples and really things of the past that we know about will not compare to that. And that's why we're going to have today's show talking about what we're going to be talking about. So we're going to, man, there's a lot of stuff that's there, and let me, and what's in the news. So let me just go through, and I'm going to go, and this one was from Roz. He says, it's a must read. New FCC chair plans to block internet privacy rules before it kicks in. So check out that. Very, very important. This goes right in pretty much in line with some of the things we're talking about and we're going to talk about today. Next one, big ups to my man, Brother Braggs. I said, thank you. It says, I said, thanks, Brother Braggs. Goodbye, First Amendment. New bill seizes assets of anyone who plans or participates in protests that disturbs the public peace. And this is SB 1142. Man, and this is out of Arizona. This is going to be, in my opinion, the overall rule of the land that they're going to use, and they're moving on this for a reason because they know that there's going to be great displacement and protest, and the overall public peace will be destroyed. So goodbye to First Amendment. New bill seizes assets of anyone who plans or participates in protests that disturbs the peace. Wow. So telling it for what we're going to be talking about today. Next article, this one came from Roz. Celebrity figurehead, I put that in, Trump's anti-media remarks could serve as a rallying cry. So true. And Roz said the media obviously sees Trump's actions towards thawed media as a fascist, though they haven't said it out loud yet. I see that the possibility coming down the road, definitely. And this is all the setup. Next one, Rod sent this with a new world order. China is now Germany's largest trading partner. This is huge. The alliances, and Rod said, alliances are being made that speak to the serious conspiracy agenda. So true, my man Rod. So check out that. And it was a couple of people sent that article, and Rod posted that one. My man Jambone sent me that one as well. Rod posted inside of Tandor. Appreciate it. Thank you, brother. Next one, this comes from Jambone. U.S. flexes its military muscle in the South Sea of China, in the South China Sea. And NBC News, check out that one. Next article, Rise had posted this one. And this goes right along with what we were talking about earlier this year. From Reuters, Mexico says, doesn't need the U.S. aid under review by Trump. And this is huge, and this is the alignment that we were talking about. And I knew that when they said that they were going to take a 30-day retreat from the NAFTA, that I knew that they were going to be strategically placing themselves. And what did I say back then? Probably one of the first calls that they made was to Beijing. So Mexico doesn't – let me just read this real quickly. Mexico doesn't need the U.S. financial aid. Interior Minister Miguel Angel Oris Chan said on Friday after celebrity figurehead Donald Trump ordered a report on such assistance given by the U.S. to its southern neighbor over the last 5 years. This whole thing is going to continue to blow up, ladies and gentlemen. Next one, article, Rise put this one. Europeans are cutting down U.S. force for so-called sustainable energy. Europeans are cutting down U.S. forces for so-called sustainable energy. European nations, including the U.K., are making a grave account of error that will result in the emissions of more planet-warming greenhouse gases, according to a new report. This goes along with Ross posted this one, talking also about, it was last week, about the deforestation down in the Amazon, which is known as the lungs of the planet. So this is a major, major problem and concern that we need to check out as well. Next article comes from The Hill. Trump calls deportation push a military operation. So check out that. Get what it means. And that's exactly what it's going to definitely be. Next one comes from Bloomberg. What is this? Pull this up real quick. And this one, why U.S. – oh, this is a very, very important. We're going to come back to this one for today's show. Why biggest U.S. creditors are selling treasuries quickly. Oh, no, sorry. Why? This comes from Bloomberg. Why biggest U.S. creditors are selling treasuries? Quick take, question and answer. So we're going to come back to this one because this is a part of today's show. Next article. Next article. This one comes from Brother Bragg sent this one from back. Black doctors shop black. Complete list of African-American owned grocery stores and farm markets. So check that out. And this is located in Fresno, California website. Man, this overall flooding and what's happening there, this is going to be a major, major, huge impact on so many ways. So check out that article as well. Next one. This one comes from, where do we get this one? This comes from fee.org. Move over, Greece. Italy's crisis will be worse. So check out that article. This goes along with everything. Next one from Reuters. Trump wants to make sure U.S. nuclear arsenal at top of the pack, of course, because we're going to be going into a major war, ladies and gentlemen. Next one from Reuters. China says North Korea issues fundamentally between the U.S. and North Korea. China says North Korean issues fundamentally between the U.S. and North Korea. The big statement there, ladies and gentlemen. So next article. I want to get through this so we can get into today's show. China has no intent of using currency to devalue it to its advantage. And this was China's response to the celebrity figurehead Trump calling them a giant manipulator. And we talked about that yesterday. Next article. This comes from express.co.uk. U.S. could become associate member of the Commonwealth to reap rewards from forgotten treasures. And this is the Commonwealth of the UK. And I said, shaking my head. So check out that, ladies and gentlemen. This has multiple, multiple things that's being said here. And it is a setup, in my opinion, also for the overall subjugation and the reallocation as the United States goes into receivership. So check out that article. Next one. This one comes from Sputnik News. The reason why you haven't heard about black folks in the U.S. being shot anymore. So Sputnik News had an article on that. Check that out. Next article from Sputnik News as well. Russia, India ready for free trade talks as bilateral ties gain momentum. This is going to be huge. Remember, in March, Iran is dropping the U.S. dollar. So this is only going to continue to perpetuate itself in this reorganization, and this is going to bring about the trade war, shooting wars, and the demise of what you have known the untied states of America. Instead of the United States of America, it will be the untied states of America. Next article comes from Neil Nettle. This one is Trump said, "I will use the full force of the federal government to take down the ped gate, meaning the pizza gate and the pedophile rings that are actually been working for millennials. It's been here for a very long time. So we'll see how that goes." And saying that, you know, this has the highest reaches. And so I think, well, if you're going to do that, how are you going to be aligned with the UK? In that the family, the so-called royal family over there, they're deep into this whole thing. So check out that. Next article comes from, one second, let me, Reuters, and it had a video from Donald Trump talking about, the celebrity figure Donald Trump talking about using the full force of the U.S. government to fight the pedophile rings. Next article, a great, great news network that I absolutely love. This is known as the Good News Network, and it says organizations learn cheap tattoo removal to help inmates get jobs. This is from the Good News Network. Love this. Love that that network. So y'all check that one out. Very, very important. And this next one comes from CS Global. Brother Bragg sent this one. China's richest man, Jack Ma, buys 28,000 acres of U.S. wilderness to preserve it. Co-founder of the online shopping giant Alibaba, Jack Ma, has decided to invest $23 million of his own dollars in a huge chunk of land in the U.S. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. This is a reason for that, because this is a part of, in my opinion, this is a part of the reorganization and the liquidation of the United States. So check out that article. Next one. Next article comes from Expanded Consciousness. UFO-like home spins on axis to achieve maximum sunlight exposure. Check out that one. Next article, this one was also Brother Bragg sent this one, and I don't know why it didn't come up. This came from Politico. And it says that the Justice Department, this was from yesterday when Brother Bragg came on. The Justice Department's reverse directive to phase out private prisons. And Brother Bragg talked about that on. And so check out that. I posted that there for you all to check out. Okay, so let's jump into today's show. Very, very important show. It is how bread will cost you $50,000. And it's no accident, but the economic direction for America. And I would say that you can look at some past things in history to see why that was so, so important. And one of the things that I want to do before we, and there's a reason why, there's an article that I want to just run past you very quickly. Make sure that that's the article we want to do. Yes. One sec. There's an article that I want to run past you. We posted this about a week or so ago, and hopefully you all read it, but it's very, very important because it was telling as to where things are, and we definitely need to take a look at that. So I'm going to pull up that article, but at any time, if you'd like to jump in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, then hit **, that way we will see you in queue. So I'm on the board so I can see if you call right now. So we will definitely go to you. So just give me a second. Let me pull up this very, very important article. Should have had this already staged, but missed that opportunity. But already got it. So we're going to go with it here. So there's an article that came from Sovereign Man. And here's the heading of the article. Fed president says U.S. banks have half the equity they need. And that's very, very important, ladies and gentlemen, especially when we just read to you what some of the bank, what the banking institutions are doing now. And there's a reason for that. And it said in a scattering editorial published in the Wall Street Journal today, the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, Kadishkar, he's pretty well known, blasted U.S. banks, saying that they still lack significant capital to withstand a major crisis. And there's a reason why, ladies and gentlemen, because there is going to be a major crisis that is going to happen. And when you apply for a mortgage, it says, when you're applying for a mortgage or a business loan, sensible banks are supposed to demand a 20% down payment from their borrowers. If you want to buy a $50,000 home, a conservative bank will loan a creditworthy borrower about $400,000. The borrower must be able to scratch together a $100,000 down payment. But when the banks make investments and buy assets, they aren't required to do the same. Did you hear what he said? Hit you with that again. When you're applying for a mortgage or a business loan, a sensible bank are supposed to demand a 20% down payment from their borrower. If you want to buy a $500,000 home, a conservative bank will loan the creditworthy borrower $400,000. The borrower must be able to scratch together a $100,000 down payment. But when banks make investments and buy assets, they're not required to do the same. Remember, when you deposit at a bank, you're essentially loaning them your savings. That's exactly right. And this comes from a Fed chair. From the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis. He's telling you these things. And this is some of the most important things as far as your family being able to save its ability to maintain its quality of life and standard of living. These things aren't highlighted, but we highlight them here at Tando because they're just too important for us not to know. So it goes on. Remember that when you deposit cash, he says money, but you, when you deposit, he's talking about cash. Cash is not money. When you deposit cash at a bank, you're essentially loaning them your savings. If you loan them your savings, that means that they can actually invest it and lose it. Did you know that? Well, if you've been listening to Tando Radio Show, you do know. As a bank depositor, you're the lender. The bank is the borrower. Did you see what happened? The bank is the borrower, but you're the lender. What are they giving you for borrowing from you? Where's the risk? Where's the balance of the moral risk balance? Where's the liability balance that's there for them? None whatsoever. In actuality, they actually double dip you by making you pay, and they so-called don't give you any form of interest, but they require you to pay them interest. Very, very important that we understand these things. Let me continue to go on. Banks pool together their deposits and make various loans and investments. They buy government bonds, financial commercial trade, and fund real estate purchases. Some of their investment decisions make sense. Others are completely idiotical, as we saw in 2008 financial meltdown. But the large point is that banks don't use their own money to make these investments. They use people's money, your money. They use your cash to do it. And your cash is what? A actual payment of your labor. They use your labor, ladies and gentlemen. That's not what the article said. This is what I'm saying. Dave from LA. A bank's investment portfolio is almost entirely funded with its customers' savings. And I would say it this way, with its customers' energy. And its customers' slave wage. Very little of the bank's own money is at risk. And whenever you hear the word money, substitute that for cash, because cash is not money. You can see the stark contrast here. If you want an individual to borrow money to invest in something, you're obligated to put down 20%, probably even more, depending on the asset. Your down payment provides a substantial cushion for the bank if you stop payment on the loan. The value of the property could decline 20% before the bank loses any money. But if a bank wants to make an investment, they typically don't have to put down a single penny. The bank's lenders, i.e. the depositors, put down all the cash for the investment. If the investment does well, the bank keeps all of the profits. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, this is why it's so important for you to control assets. This is why that wealth seminar, this family business, private wealth seminar is so important. This is why you acquiring assets is so important, because what you do is when you have assets, you mitigate the liability of default. You transfer the liability of default from yourself to the lender, especially if it's an immoral one. You don't have a debt problem if you have assets. If you don't have any assets and you have any debt, you have a debt problem. When you have assets and you have a borrowing, you don't have a debt problem. Your lender does. You transfer the liability of default from you to them. This is why it's so important that we engage in things that really do matter and stop. And we really need to reconvene on how we do things. We have to totally have a change in direction. And that direction needs to start with you. And I would say, don't wait for the community to do it. You do it. You take that lonely path for yourself, your family, first. Because that's the only way that it really matters. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, right now, the overall system controls the economic direction of the world. They have that in the palm of their hand. Why? Because they created it. Everything that happens in that system is to their benefit, especially when the people are they do not, they're not aware or they're ignorant to what is really happening. But here, and they control that, and from that, from the palm of their hand, they're able to gain momentum and to have more standing than they necessarily otherwise would have without it. They gain much more power and influence because of that. But here's the catch. Though they have that in the palm of their hand, there's something that you have that's more powerful, and that's your overall decisions, your free will. As an individual, is more powerful than the overall energy that they control in the palm of their hand by their economic system. This is why your decisions should be self-determining and sovereign, and you have to know the difference and the importance thereof of them. Let me continue. It goes on. The bank lenders, i.e. depositors, oh, I've already got to that part. Okay, so now it goes on to say, this seems pretty one-sided, especially considering that the exchange for assuming all risk of a bank's investment decisions, you are rewarded with an interest rate that fails to keep up with inflation, after which the government taxes you on the interest you receive. Do you see how you get it every which way? And this is why you need to know a better way. It goes on to say, oops, and I moved it down. It hardly seems worth it. Back in 2008, 2009, the entire financial system was on the brink of collapse because banks were making wild bets without having significant capital. In other words, the banks had a significant down payment on the toxic investments they had purchased, and those assets in idiotical loans were made almost exclusively with the consumers, with the customer saving. Lehman Brothers, a now de facto investment bank, infamously had about 3% capital on the line for its at the time of its collapse, meaning that Lehman used just 3% of its own money to buy toxic assets. Eventually, the value of those toxic assets collapsed. And now, let me move this down, and not only was the bank wiped out, but the investors had loaned the bank money and took a giant loss. This happened across the entire financial system because the banks had made idiotic investment decisions and failed to maintain significant capitals to absorb the losses. Nearly a decade after, the banks still aren't significantly capitalized. He's giving you the warning. Will you heed it? Will you heed it? And will you do and protect yourself and your family properly? Or will we continue to be consumers of the overall agenda from what's in the palm of their hand? Will we continue to eat out of the palm of their hand? So it goes on to say, he pointed out that the banks today are obsessed with pointless documents and seems unable to exercise judgments or use common sense. The banks themselves obviously don't agree. Banks feel that they currently have too much capital. Bizarre. That's basically saying they want to have less safe. They want to be less safe. That's a stunt. Let me move down. Like a stunt pilot complaining that his helmet is too sturdy. I've written about this many times. The decision from where to hold your saving is a matter of importance. In addition to sovereignty and liquid concerns, there are multitudes of other issues like routine violations of public trust, collusion to fix interest rates and exchange rates, manipulation of asset prices, and all-out fraud. You have a system that is filled with ubiquitous fraud, ladies and gentlemen. I personally got so fed up with our financial system that I started my own bank in 2015 to handle my company's financial transactions more on that another time. Yet despite the obvious risk, most people simply assume away the safety of their banks. They spend more time thinking about what to do, what to watch on Netflix than what they should be doing with their bank is the most reasonable custodian of their life savings. They are countless. There are countless ways to figure out, move this down, figure out this. But here's a shortcut. Much capital or equity how much capital and equity does the bank have as a percentage to its assets? There are easy numbers to find out. Just Google YZ bank balance sheet, meaning just Google that bank's balance sheet. Look at the bottom where it says capital or equity. That's your number. Okay, and we're going to end it here, but read this article, and it says have a plan B. That is so critical. You have to know how this overall economic system is working so that you can properly protect yourself from it. There are things that you can do to protect yourself and your family that you should be engaging in. We talk about it here on Tando Radio Show all the time. You never, ever, ever use cash beyond its overall capabilities and means. You never use it as a measure of saving. That is, you are actually causing your own demise economically. I don't care how many millions of dollars of pieces of paper you have. All you have is coupons, paper coupons, that are really meaningless at the time of the margin call. And that is coming, and it already has been happening for a while. There are a lot of different countries throughout the world right now that are divesting themselves of the U.S. dollar. And you need to know these things, because if you don't know it, you'll think that everything is fine when it isn't. And it hasn't been for a long time. It just hasn't adversely affected you and I as much as it should have already. They stayed everything off. So it's very, very important. There's an article that we posted from a while ago, and we've been posting in. Try to go back and read some of these articles. China dropped the treasuries by, in 2016, $188 billion they've dumped. The most on record. So you got to check those things out. Don't just haphazardly pass these things by, because they can adversely affect you in the very, very near future. And what I want to do, I see you, Jerry, about to go to you in a second. We have to strategically place ourselves before, because the key to getting through things is that you plan for prosperity in the time of and bountiful. And right now, even though things are getting bad, if you plan for prosperity by being a prodigious saver, you will position yourself and your family in a way that you'll be able to get through this. And not only that, you'll be able to actually prosper from this. So we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. Jerry, I see you. We're going to come right back to you after the commercial break. Then we're going to get into how this $50,000 for bread is going to happen, because that's the overall direction. So you're listening to Tando Radio Show, you're listening to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, hit us up, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025, hit **. We'll see you in queue and bring you up. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Put me be crazy.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. And we got a caller in queue. My man Jerry is there, so let's go to Jerry. Jerry, welcome to Tando Radio Show, brother.
Yeah, how you doing tonight, Dave?
I'm good, man. I'm good, brother.
Great, great. I was, just to add to what you were saying, all of that, you know, you done had, like you said about the other one, you can kind of watch it develop.
Hey, Jerry, your phone is really bad. Could you hang up and call right back? Maybe we get it, because we can't hear you at all. Which, I think I can hear you now. Try now. Jerry? Okay. Jerry phone, we couldn't hear Jerry. So, Jerry, yeah, you still there? Okay, okay, cool. Hey, Jerry, you there now?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Okay. Oh, man, that's a whole lot better. Okay, cool, we couldn't hear you at all. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. It was you mentioned about all of the assets and stuff that we are only halfway to what we need as far as the banks and whatnot. And I was reading an article yesterday, and it pertained exactly to this. And my question was, is that how much back and forth do the government, police, and the banks do? I know Obama bailed out the banks back in 08, but how much do the police, the government, and the banks all have? What type of relationship they have? Because it was just stated that Arizona was voting to take money from take assets from the people who participated in protesting. Now, last year, before Trump got in, Obama had let a law go through where he was stating that the protesters could be arrested. So now I'm not sure, I never seen where they actually enacted that law, but I remember them discussing it. And then when you add this in, that the protesters, their assets could be confiscated. Could that have anything to do with this, with the assets that's missing, per se, from the banks?
Let me tell you something, Jerry, great question. So with the police, with this whole thing, is that one of the things that the system always does, this economic system does, is that it tries to enslave people as much as possible. And stealing of assets is the most effective way to do that. Why? Because when someone had assets and they no longer have assets, they become more dependent on the economic system that they put into place. It's a way of enslaving. So this is what I'm seeing with this, is that there has always been a arrangement between the laws that were created by the system, and particularly the financial side of the laws. So where your enforcement, your policing and your enforcement goes to is they seize assets and then they give it to who? Back to the system. And who runs that system? The financial system is run by the financial networks known as the franchises of the banks. And that private entities in that. They are just as we read here where they loan you cash or give you a mortgage, you got to pay them this and that, but they use your cash that you deposit into a bank and they don't pay you for it. And this exact same thing that they're doing by seizing assets. They're taking some, it's an exaction. They're taking something that that's not owed or due. It's actually a crime. It's actually a crime. And so they're doing the exact, because this is how they operate. This is why when you control assets, one of the things with people that control assets and when they have a malevolent agenda is this, is that they will privatize the profits but socialize the liabilities, meaning that they will make the people pay for their private business. And that's what is happening here. So as what you're saying, Jerry, so just like the people can be arrested Now they add on to that, your assets can be taken because you organized this, you did this, and they're going to come up with, well, you're going to have to pay for because of your incompetence or what you you incited this riot or you incite just disturbing the peace. Do you know what disturbing the peace means? I'm being sarcastic. Disturbing the peace means nothing more than just it's quiet and then all of a sudden you're playing loud music. You just being loud is disturbing the peace. They have laws throughout this country about it. It's called disturbing the peace.
Yeah, and that noise ordinance.
Exactly, noise ordinances. Why did they write these laws? They wrote these laws because the pen of the law is to seize and to repossess your freedoms that they gave you. This is why we have to start thinking anew. We have to walk away from everything that they put down on paper. Everything that they put down on paper. Because it's meant to control you and to deceive you. This is why this wealth seminar that we're having. One of the things that they said here is that, I'm going to tell you, they said that they can seize your assets. They can take your assets. Brother Bragg sent that. Well, see, if you control everything and own nothing, there's nothing that they could take from you at all. This is why this stuff is so, so important. How you can protect yourself from even that. This is why those that know these type of things, they only do business with other people that do those things because they're not going to have where they protected themselves. They're not going to expose themselves into some liability with other people that don't know and not engaged in it. It's a threat, and it actually compromised everything that they built up in their protection. Very important that we know these things and we act on them properly. So, yes, they're definitely going to use enforcement. They're going to use enforcement in all kinds of ways, IRS codes and everything to steal your energy. This is the agenda. This is where we are. It's very important that we know these things. And one of the things that you want to do is that you don't want to own anything. And see, the system has taught you to own. Owning means you're liable. You can be held liable. One of the things that the Rothschilds, or was it, Rothschild said is that Mayor Rothschild says, I care not about the laws if I control the money supply. What does that mean? He don't care what any politician or what the letter of the law is. He controls the overall money supply. And when he's talking about the money supply, ladies and gentlemen, he wasn't talking about cream, cash rules, everything around me. He's talking about assets. If I control assets, I'm immune to every law that they pen. They need me. I don't need them. So, yes, to answer your question, Jerry, yes, this is definitely going in that direction and is only going to continue to get worse and is only going to continue to grow. And this is why it's very important for us to know and then to properly, strategically place ourselves to where you can maintain being sovereign and self-determining. Very, very important. I'm going to tell you, no law can take anything from you that you control. They'll take everything that you own. Ownership makes you liable. So hopefully we answered your question there, Jerry.
Yes, sir. That was great. I kind of had an idea, but I wasn't sure how many people ran across this information, and you seem to put it out there pretty good, so I wanted to let you explain it. So with that being said, I mute myself and I continue listening.
Man, my man Jerry, always, always you're so important to this, man. Just from just your engagement and your overall input on everything is so important. And now is the time that we really need to continue. It doesn't matter where you are. You start where you are. And I want to give you everyone just one something very good that you can do now, regardless of what your economic standings is right now. Right now, the U.S. Mint try to pull a fast one on people. And when you don't know these things, you know, you're not able to capitalize on it, okay? Because they do it selectively. It was a whisper. I'm going to tell you a whisper that's been out now about the U.S. Mint. The new 2017 pennies, what they did was in those pennies, 2017 pennies, there's a little P that signifies that that penny was minted in Philadelphia. Those pennies are going to be extremely valuable in the future. Go and look at your 2017, especially if you're in a city or in a area where there's a Federal Reserve Bank, Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, Minnesota, Atlanta, Kansas City, the Federal Reserve location. But still, what you need to do, ladies and gentlemen, every one of your new shiny pennies that you get, hopefully you'll get a 2017. If it has a P on it, put that to the side. Protect it, because that thing is going to be valuable. It's much more valuable than this. It's 1 cent value right now. It's going to be a collector's item. So that is one of the ways that you should be. See, coins is, depending on the content of the coins is more money than cash is. Cash is done by a private organization as a note saying, hey, make an exchange with this person with my note. It's like a teacher giving you a pass in the hallway. But at some point, you graduate from that grade and, you know, no longer do you need a pass from a teacher. But that's what cash is. It's nothing more than a note from a teacher to give you passage and to have a medium of exchange. But it's not real money. Never has been. Never will be. It's just a note. That's why it says it on there. It's a note. So engage in real things that matter. Now, what I want to do is I want to jump into one more part before we go. But at any time, if you'd like to call into the show, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. There's an article that I want you to check out real quickly. It came from Bloomberg. And as we get into this part of the show, then I want to play something for you all. Why the biggest U.S. creditors are selling treasuries. Okay, here it goes. Very, very important that you know these things. And this is why bread is going to $50,000, ladies and gentlemen. It's the biggest pile of debt in the world. The $13.9 trillion U.S. Treasury market has been built with the help of foreign central bank investors who have clamored to buy U.S. government debt through good times and bad. But what happens if they lose their taste for treasury, which they already have? With creditors from Tokyo to Beijing to London having second thoughts, we may be about to find out. And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is the best way to categorize that. If someone has something that you want, let's say a jacket or something, or they're selling something, and then all of a sudden, and it's a faddish jacket, and then all of a sudden, like members only, for those of you that remember, are Gazelles. At the time the members only and Gazelles was out, people were paying top dollar for them. Now you can get those for pennies if they're even anywhere around. They're not worth a dime. That's the exact same thing that's going to be happening with the U.S. dollar. Exact same thing. Goes on. How do we know this? How do we know that they're having second thoughts? They're selling a lot. Investors in Japan, the largest holders of U.S. Treasuries, halted their stock in December by 2.39 trillion yen. The most in almost 4 years. China's holding dropped by the most on record during 2016, while, like I said, they dropped 188 billion. While two countries still hold more than 1 trillion of U.S. debt, this trend by the America's two biggest creditors caught bond traders' attention because its departure from its buying binge of the recent past, domestic investors are likely to pick up the slack. Who are the domestic investors likely to pick up the slack? That's your bank. That's you. They're going to be investing in this. Remember when we read earlier that they're using your crash to buy investment opportunities? This is the investment opportunity. This is why they're going to buy it with your deposits and with your tax dollars and with your cash, your backing of the cash, and it's going to be you that's really buying it. And when it defaults, they're going to lay the liabilities of it at your feet. And how they're going to lay the liabilities of it at your feet? That's when bread goes to $50,000 an ounce. $50,000 a loaf. Because you need more cash in order to buy any asset, because what you're coming with has the inflation, the hyperinflation has gone up, that no one has confidence in that medium of exchange. They're not taking that note anymore. So when the teacher gives you the note to go to another part of the school and give you a hall pass, somebody's going to check your hall pass and say, nope, that's not good enough. Article continues. The domestic investors likely picking up the slack since the benchmark 10-year yield climbed as much as 90 basis points from the lowest points since election night in November. Why are they selling now? In part, the same reason a wide range of investors elsewhere have been selling too. This is what happens, ladies and gentlemen. Once people start selling, they get nervous, and they're like, well, if you're not going to hold it, China, and you're not going to hold it, Japan, I'm not going to hold it. Because it only has value because you've been buying it more than I've been buying it. So it goes on. There's a broad market trend that's being termed the global reflation trade, in which bond traders have driven up yields and the benefits that a stronger growth in the U.S. and in Europe, plus President Trump's ambitious plan for debt-fueling spending, will put an end to the too long period of low inflation and the low interest rate that accompany it. In addition, with good alternatives at home, investors may be pulling back from a desire not to get caught up in the geopolitical drama sparked by Trump's aggressive talk about a tougher approach to trade. What are they seeing? This is going to cause the dollar to lose value, so I'm going to get out of it beforehand. Now, goes on. Have foreign investors ever held this much U.S. debt? No. Nor has the U.S. ever owed so much. Foreign investors own $6 trillion in U.S. government debt, up to $3.8 trillion in 2008. The shares of debt owned by foreigners went down in the same time period to 43% from 56%, primarily because the Fed was buying too much itself. The Federal Reserve was not buying one thing. You were buying it because you were the buyer of last resort. We're going to get back to this article, but what I want to do, because of the interest of the time, I want to switch over to something that's very important here. And what's important here is for us to look back at history as to what happened, but what's going to happen here is going to be magnified by multiple means, and why bread is going to $50,000, and that is the trend in America. And what we need to do is that we need to go back to the Weimar Republic And look at what happened in the Weimar Republic. And I got this from Fox News. So I'm going to play this, and this was a while back. I'm going to play this, and then I want you to hear, and I'm going to play something else so that you can see where this is and where we're going. Because Germany, the Weimar Republic in Germany, is just a small indication about of what we're about to endure. Then we're going to go to a commercial break. We'll play the other slate, and then we'll open up the lines for call. So listen up. Here we go. One second. Oops. Guess I got it. One sec. Sorry about that. Wasn't quite ready myself. Okay, here we go. Give me a second to set this up. Sorry about that. Okay, hold on one second. Oops.
The Weimar Republic was the government of Germany between 1919 and 1933. It was the test of democracy. It was right after World War I. Germany had lots of debt. They owed the world a lot of money. They were restructuring. Germany didn't manufacture anything. They had produced things for the war, and that was it. What they decided to do was this. The German government decided they had to print money. Now, printing money may seem like a great idea, except for the fact that there was nothing to back it. So they started with what was called the paper mark. And the paper mark, when they began, was equal to about 4.2 U.S. dollars at the time. Salaries started to go up. Costs started to go up. Money became fluid. But the reality of it is, as the prices increased, the money became worthless. You see these magnificent stories that are shown in every history book of wheelbarrows of cash being carried from breakfast to lunch, the work that they'd done for the morning solely to buy any bread, any goods, anything that they could get such that they could pay it because by the end of the day that paper would be worth nothing. And so these wheelbarrows of cash became completely worthless, such that 1 trillion paper marks equaled $1 after the inflationary period, which we'd call a hyperinflationary period of time, of printing and printing and printing. The main economic downfall came largely because of the printing of money and their attachment to debt with the United States. When the collapse of the markets came, the United States, they were dependent upon the...
Okay, let me stop it there real quick. I want you to pick out a couple of things. It's very important. You heard where they said the dependence on the market because of who they owe. What happened was the United States had loaned the Weimar Republic, deceptively so, fraudulently so, and charged them crazy interest rates after the Treaty of Versailles. And they put Germany under so much debt that they couldn't pay it. Then the United States had a problem. And they had a problem, the Great Depression. So they called, there was a margin call. The shadow banking in China is huge. China's economy is having major problems. But see, China's economy, because of their economic sense, they're going to be able to survive it. But who is going to be liable for it? Who is that going to flow down to? It's lender. It's borrower, being the United States. It's history repeating itself, but on multiple, by multiples of thousands. Because the difference is that the Weimar Republic was not the reserve currency or the petrodollar, and nor did they have the debt that was unsustainable that the U.S. has right now by the margins that it had. This is why it's going to be far, far worse. So let's get back to it real quick.
The U.S. It was the perfect storm. So not only was their money worthless, they were now owing huge obligations to a country that was suffering under the demise of the stock market. So the combination of all of these took what should have been a test of democracy and created fertile ground for someone who might come in at a later time and say, you know what? Democracy didn't work. The markets didn't work. Listen to me. We'll take care of you, which was the ushering in of the Third Reich. Look at the specific steps and the domino that occurred. Step one, right wing and left wing, huge conflicts. Do we have a division between right wing and left wing? Many would say there is.
Same bird.
Step two, huge deficits run by Germany. Do we have huge deficits? Larger deficits than we've ever had in history. Step three, no goods to produce. Do we have no goods to trade? What do we make? The United States doesn't produce goods. We have not had a production or an innovation of goods really since the 1980s and 90s when we manufactured computers. So you look at each of these steps, and the fact that Germany didn't manufacture anything, you can see parallels to the United States. And then you go to the next step. They started printing money. They printed money and started
printing cash.
Debt. By printing money,
cash
into a realm where their money had no value. And it started to reduce in value, driving up prices. There are two or three differences. One, the size of our economy and the consumption of our economy is much different than the German economy. So many might make the case, and I find it ironic, that we're too big to fail, that the rest of the world won't allow our currency to be so devalued. And many would say that all the debt that we owe China and Japan and others, they would never allow us to devalue our currency because it would only devalue what we have to pay them back. So that may be a difference, but I find the irony compelling. The very thing that we are claiming as the worst thing that could happen to America, that we would have companies or industries that are too big to fail, is the very thing we are depending upon for our survival. That we as Americans are so large as consumers to the world that the world would not allow us to fail. We are printing money and distributing it through the Fed, by the Federal Reserve, borrowing from the federal government, if you will, and putting cash out there. They're buying these bonds, taking the IOU and giving the cash to the government so the government can spend. It's no different than the government just printing it and spending it, but it appears to be through an external source, being the Fed, when it really isn't. It is simply handing the Fed cash to give back to them so that they can spend it, and the Fed holds the IOU.
And let me just say this. One of the things about that process that's so that most people don't talk about and what's so damaging about that process is this. When they create cash, when they create currency by way of the printing press or by digital algorithms, because that's all they do. They just go to a computer and say, okay, this is what we have now. There's nothing behind it at all. When they do that, with the when they first create it and then use it after that, they get the most benefit from its creation because it's newer. It's a newer creation. And as it goes down the line, you know what they say about stuff going downhill? It rolls downhill. And as it continues to roll downhill, it loses more and more and more and more of its confidence, more and more of its ability, more and more of its purchasing power, more and more of its sustainability, more and more of its relevance. Why is it doing that? Because it actually gives power of energy transfer from you to them. Because what they're able to do when they create it, that magnet that they create, that magnet of destruction, stats and has a vacuum effect where it takes all of your energy and multiplies it, their overall efforts. This is a very diabolical plan of enslavement that has never gone out of business because it's too profitable. Because we engage and we fund it and we give life to it. We enable it. We cause it. we are equally it by our choices that we've been deceptively changed in to become. This is the art of monetary war, and deception is the key to winning. Listen, get ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. When we come back, want to finish this. Got one more thing. And then we'll open up the lines. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. This is critical, critical, critical for you to know. This is how bread goes to $50,000, and it is going there, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Tuned in to Black Talk Radio, the new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation once we open it up, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. And then I also want to give some things that I think that you should be doing. One of the most important things is that I think that you have to move into a position of advantage and protecting yourself. Don't own anything. Ownership means liability. Legal, it's where there's, you have legal standing as being disclosed. And it's something that you want to make sure that you protect yourself from. You don't want to own a darn thing. Because if you own anything, it can be attached. There's a lien that can be placed on it. It can be taken away from you by legal recourse. You want to control everything. When you have control of things, there is no legal recourse in liability for you. Or you minimize it to the most, to the maximum. These are things that have been going on for a very long time that we haven't been engaging in, that we need to. So let's get back to this, and then we'll get to the calls. Okay, here we go.
Now, that kind of monetization of debt or circularity of debt is something that you didn't see in Germany in a circular fashion. It was overt. The question is, what happens when the rest of the world discovers that we are monetizing and doing nothing different than what they did in the Weimar Republic in Germany?
They're going to be pissed, which they already know now.
One thing that the Weimar Republic did post-Weimar, toward the end of a period of time, is where they shifted to that new currency and they backed it up with land. That was their first effort and attempt to establish it as a currency that had something of underlying value. What do we have in the United States of underlying value? Trust. As soon as someone no longer believes that the United States can repay its obligations, it has no collateral, and that paper has no value. A AAA rating means nothing if people can't repay it. But as long as they believe that we have sufficient trust, or that we will consume enough of their goods, or we will produce enough as an economy that we have value, then it sustains itself. But only so long as the trust is in place.
All right, so that was how the Weimar Republic and how the U.S. are so similar in this whole thing, how they're so similar in this whole thing. And it's identical but far worse. The overall condition of the United States is far, far worse than the Weimar Republic. And what happened there, we're going to look at what happened there and how that is actually happening right now in the United States. So what I want to do is I want to quickly jump into, see how much time we got. I want to quickly jump into something else that you can hear. This was from the History Channel. I want you to hear this so that you can put this together, and we'll do like 10 minutes of it, like 10 or 5 minutes of it, and then we'll come back to some things that you should be doing in the interim, regardless of who you are. There are things that you can do to protect yourself, and the time for doing that is now. So here we go. One second.
It was the most liberal constitution.
Sorry about that. Hold on a second, everyone. Okay, here we go.
Right, what was one of the most, well, was the most liberal constitution of any country in Europe at the time.
The Weimar Republic was most liberal.
Guaranteed equal voting rights to women at the same age as men, which didn't happen in this country, in Great Britain, until 1930.
Okay, let me just say real quick. Not only the Weimar Republic had the most liberal laws, and they had a lot of different things for development in the arts and everything else. They were very liberal. They also had choice. People were made choices as to their mates. The gay and lesbian community, they didn't allow. They had laws that protected all of those communities and everything else. So they were the beacon of freedom at that time. It's very, very important. They did it for a reason. It's a setup. It's as they're setting everything up here. Not that I'm saying that there should be laws against it. No, but what I'm telling you is that when we follow the system, the pattern of the system, their overall direction is to get you into complete, when you have blind faith in this system, that is the first step to genocide, and that's what they wanted to have. Here we go.
Became known. The period of German democracy from 1919 right through to 1933 was in many ways constitutionally the most liberal in Europe. And yet we all know what happened in 1933. It was replaced by the Nazi dictatorship, which really came into being on March the 23rd, 1933, with the passing of the Enabling Act, which gave Hitler full legal dictatorial powers. Let me just
stop real quick there. The Enabling Act, that was nothing more than NDAA and the Patriot Act. And that's so important because all of these things, they repeat it because it worked so well before. It worked so well before. So I'm looking at time. So what I want to do is I want to give you all an opportunity. And there's one other thing that I want to share with you all. If you'd like to get in on a conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Scotty, do we have like 10 minutes more after for this show? Because that would kind of dictate how far I go. If you can, Scott.
About 20 minutes. 20 minutes.
Oh, about 20. Okay. 20 minutes. Okay. Okay, cool. So let's get, I want you to hear because it's very, very important. Then I'm last 10 minutes, I'm going to open up the line. Okay. So here we go.
And the question of why the Weimar Republic collapsed, you know, why Germany went from what was basically the most liberal constitution in Europe to Nazi dictatorship is one of the key questions that, exists in modern 20th century history. And one of the big mistakes that's made about the Weimar Republic and about the issue of why it collapsed is to over-concentrate on the problems of its early years. And it is a classic mistake. You know, students do it in exams. When asked about why the Weimar Republic collapsed, you know, it's not uncommon for three-quarters of the flipping answer to be about the problems between 1918 and 1923. But in my view, that misses the point. And to look at the reasons for the Weimar Republic's collapse, you have to concentrate more on the events from 1929 onwards.
The end, the Great Depression.
Republic, because it's in the last years of the Weimar Republic that the key to its collapse lies. Now, it's certainly the case that the Weimar Republic did have long-term weaknesses that existed right from the start, things that would make democracy very difficult to survive in Germany. And yet the idea that these weaknesses doomed the Weimar Republic from the start, I think, is conceived wrong. What were some of the long-term weaknesses then? Well, it's certainly the case that the Weimar Republic was born out of them losing the First World War, and the loss or the losing of the First World War led to two revolutions, basically. A revolution from above, where power was passed down from the Army High Command and people like Ludendorff, down to the Weimar Reichstag politicians, later known as the Weimar politicians, in order to pass the blame for losing the war. Then there was a revolution from below, where the people themselves rose up in the cities and there were riots and demonstrations when they found out they were losing the war. All of this culminated in the abdication of the Kaiser on the 9th of November 1918. So the imperial system.
And all of those things are actually, you can mark them as happening now. It's history repeating itself. Why? Because it's not... It's an agenda. It's a part of the conspiracy agenda, ladies and gentlemen, because it worked so well before. Okay, here we go.
System ended. So the Weimar Republic was born out of losing a war and out of revolution. Pressure from the Americans, you know, helped push them down the Democratic.
From the Chinese.
Woodrow Wilson made it a condition of negotiating with the Germans. So it is the case, it is valid to say that democracy in Germany was not something that necessarily was born out of you know, normal circumstances. It resulted from the end of the war. It's also the case that the Weimar Republic was saddled with the Treaty of Versailles very quickly on, with its harsh terms. You know, Germany lost about 10% of its total industrial output. It lost about 13% of its territory, and with some industries like iron and steel, it was getting on for 50% of the total output that was lost in the territorial losses. You know, they also lost a huge chunk of territory known as the Polish Corridor, West Prussia and Poznania, which split East Prussia away from the rest of Germany. These were major territorial losses. Alsace-Lorraine was another one.
Okay, so now what I want to do real quick... Look at how that's happening now. The U.S. is losing influence, and it's what it has colonized it before in the past is losing the influence of those strategically territorial places that have great influence, especially in assets. The exact same thing is unfolding, but is unfolding on a much larger scale, and the outcome of it is going to be even larger than what happened in Germany. Let's get back to it.
In addition, they were saddled with the reparations, which was the most damaging aspect of the Treaty of Versailles, which in 1921 was set at £6.6 billion, or the German equivalent. And the reparations had to be paid in installments in goods over a long period of time, and, you know, between 10 and 20% of what the German economy was producing in the early years of the Weimar Republic was given away in reparations. So it is the case that it was saddled with some of these really difficult problems. And it is also true that the Weimar Constitution that was written in the spring of 19...
Pay attention here.
...by politicians such as Friedrich Ebert, who became the first German president, did contain fundamental weaknesses. For example, Article 48, which said that in an emergency, the president could use emergency powers, which basically means ruling by decree, and the president could decide what an emergency was. which was later used and undermined democracy. You know, and the idea...
And I'm going to stop right there. And those exact same things have been legislated and deemed today by the military taking over, getting rid of Posse Comitatus, and by NDAA, and by the Patriot Act, the extension of that, the creation of Homeland Security. Whenever you want to look at how a path that this country is on, you need not to stop any further than Germany, the Weimar Republic, going into the Third Reich of Nazi Germany, going into that overall demise. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, this thing is playing out perfectly because it worked so well before in the past. All you have to do is just to change the names and the languages, but you're still going to have the same outcome. Department of Homeland Security was instituted with the overall foundation of what was out of Nazi Germany, the policies and procedures of today in the United States, because it was the United States that first indoctrinated all of this through Manifest Destiny. So this is, we're going to continue this, but we're going to be running out of time. So just thought it was very, very important. And you can see from what was happening in Germany, and this is to put it, and we're going to have another part to this on Monday, Great Creator willing. Well, I know the Great Creator is willing. The energy direction of things willing and capable, because we have that will to do it, so it will happen. But, we have the desire to do it, but if the events line up that way, then we'll do it. So what happened in Weimar? Weimar was hamstrung by large debt to a foreign nation. They compromised their overall sovereignty because they lost the war. They lost the war, and they had to pay reparations of that war, which they just were able to get out of, and they just finished paying off, ladies and gentlemen, 2014. Just finished paying that off, 2014. What happened to the United States? How many wars have the United States engaged in and they've lost because of that? And it's been a burden on its overall economy. This is the setup because it works so well. And all of this is far worse. The overall, the data and the overall categories and the segments of the turmoil is far worse in the United States than it was in the Weimar Republic, as I said earlier, on multiples of thousands. So what does that mean? We're going to continue to see this, and you'll see how, you know, how bread went from $50,000. Went up to over $1 billion in Weimar. Why did it do that? Because no one else was buying their debt. They didn't have anything to sell and trade. And because they didn't have anything to trade with, they had to have an economy based off confidence. No one had confidence. Iran is dropping the dollar because they have an asset that they can sell and bring to market. China is going to be dropping the dollar because they have assets. This is why they're fighting for the South China Sea and the overall waterways of that produces over $5 trillion annually in that trade. This is why the One Belt, One Road or the New Silk Road line is all about trade. And the United States, what did they do? They isolated themselves just as against the world. And this is why what you're seeing now from immigration, what you're seeing now, let me say this about immigration. You've already been outmaneuvered by those that are so-called saying they need to clean it up. They established the conditions and the environment for the influx to happen. And then now once they've completely been inundated by it, now all of a sudden they want to get rid of it? Impossible. without unwinding the complete, it's so woven into the tapestry of this so-called facade of a nation. It's so woven, and if it was a representation, which it is, if it is represents a rug, the tapestry of that rug now is so woven in its immigration now to actually impugn or to evict that immigration would be to pull the rug completely apart, and it will no longer be the rug embodiment that it was before. It will no longer have the embodiment that it had before. It will be untied. It was the United States. It will be the untied states. And that's not just because of that. It's because of many things. It's the contributions of many. It's the death by thousands cuts, by a thousand cuts. And Weimar's overall, because of hyperinflation, the overall value of things from 10 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock in the morning was huge. So in our case, it was like something costing a dollar at 10 o'clock. But by 12 o'clock, it cost $3,000. And the people weren't getting paid on that same rate. Why? Because they only had debt. Nothing at all. This is why you're seeing the realignment. This is why you're seeing the displacement, the reinvestment away from the United States. This is why it's going to cause a war. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Before we get out of here, we got like, we got a little time. We got like 7 or so minutes. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, definitely jump in. Would love to hear from you. And my man Roz is there. Go ahead, Roz.
Peace. How you doing?
What's up, brother? How you feeling?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. Peace to you, Brother Bragg, Brother Scotty, Jerry, everybody. I was saying this is just what you read about the bank situation just really brings home the fact that all of the criminality is built in the DNA of the system from the beginning.
Right.
It was never meant to be equitable. And if you check all 10 areas of people activity, economics, education, entertainment, healthcare, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, all of those areas of people activity have been infested with a disease called criminality that's facilitated by white supremacy. And
it's been compromised. Exactly. It compromised the whole. It's not just one thing. Exactly. It is the nomenclature, the DNA of its existence.
Yes, everything. And what's really interesting is when you talked about if you want to see what's happening to the United States, take a look at Germany. And I just said this on the couch the other day. The Germans did win World War II. There was a different branch of Germans that you call white Americans that came here from Germany. I mean, came here from England to set up the United States are of German descent. The British, the Scottish, the Irish, the French, all of these people are descendants from the Jutes, and the Jutes are the original people of Germany. So all you're seeing is basically the descendants of the oldest Germans doing what Germans do. So you're absolutely correct in everything that you were just expounding on. And there was something, one of the last things you said had generated something I wanted to comment on, but it slipped my mind. Can you just give me a brief synopsis of one of the last parts of what you were just talking about?
Man, Rod.
There was something you said that just triggered something, and I totally forgot it now. I should have wrote it down, but I didn't. I just wanted to know if you remember any of the last thing you said before I came on, because it'll probably trigger my memory.
But what we were talking about, daggone it, Rod, you know how that works, man. I can't remember, man. We were talking about just before that. Oh man, Raj,
because I was listening to you and I totally forgot what you know how that goes. And it, I'm sorry, bro. I don't remember what I was talking about, but you're absolutely right. And this is the methodology. This is what you have to have in order to control people, is you have to steal their energy. Because if you don't steal their energy, and there's a way in which you can steal people's energy without them knowing it, to where they surrender it to you. And this is what you call the so-called civilized world. There's nothing civilized about this world. The anarchy is so prevalent that you can see it in the famines, the disease, the war, the poverty, the destabilization. Go ahead, Ross.
Oh, I'm sorry. I remember it now. What it was, I was going to say, you're seeing xenophobia throughout Europe in regards to trying to get rid of the non-white people that are there. After the Brexit, it exploded as far as the racial incidents, because they think the Brexit was about kicking out black people. And what people aren't paying attention to is when Europeans went on their global expansion, they destroyed the places these people came from. These people were then seeking a stable environment in order to take care of their families and have some semblance of a decent life. So if the people who are vampiring your country are the only countries that are now stable because they're raping your country where you come from, so your country's in chaos, so where are you going to go except to the people who have destroyed your country? All of those Africans, all of those Arabs, all of those people going to these places are the people who are the victims of the original European assault that dates back to at least the 1400s. And when you were talking about compliance, really, it's about compliance. And what they've done is they've brutalized the non-white people into being forced to accept their variation of what they call civilization. And then after generations of this sort of assault, the descendants of those original victims forget the history. So they are born into a system automatically assuming things like banks are good, automatically assuming that sending your kids to be taught by your enemy is great, all of these things. And then what happens is, because they don't understand the reality of how they got to where they are, they comply with everything. And from that compliance, like you call it blind faith, all of that compliance, blind faith, whatever name you want to call it, is what sets you up for destruction. And that reading you did on the banking says it all, because if you think about it, there's no institution that does not deal with electronic transfer of funds to someone's bank. Almost no one cuts a physical check anymore. So you are forced into that to be robbed from the moment you set up any sort of situation where you're getting financial transactions from another company or you work for someone. It's automatically going into you getting robbed. Whereas before, you had a choice. You could say, you know what, I don't have a bank account. Cut me a paper check. I'll go wherever I got to go to cash my check so I can get my money, my cash in my hand. Now that option is almost non-existent. So you're forced into being robbed from the moment you get a job. And this is what I mean when I say it's built into the DNA of the system, the DNA of the language, the DNA of the economy. And what we're seeing is all of these things coming to a head now that we're being set up for the big collapse that's coming. And I don't know if you saw the article I posted in the Intando yesterday, but there was an article that I posted that I tagged you in. And it was really, really important in regards to the information that it was bringing forward about what's happening with the financial situation, but I don't think you saw it. What I want to do is I'm going to see if I can send it to you in private.
Resend it to me, Rod, because I missed it. And you know what? One of the things that's real important is that one of the things in this whole thing is that how do they get you to forget your cultural ties to the sustainability that the great creator gave you as a gift? Easy. They school you.
Is schooling, exactly. They brutalize
they
you.
They school you.
Stop fighting. And then once they feel that you're pliable, then they school you. And once they school you, you think,
you become it. You become it. You start to uphold it. You start to energize it. You become what you had to endure. Exactly, Ross.
Lauda Equiano, the kidnapped prince from Nigeria that was brought here and basically sexually raped and terrorized by white men while he was enslaved here. When he was first brought here, they brutalized the heck out of him. He was raped by multiple white men. And then he was under the assumption that he needed to civilize himself like the white people who had brutalized him. So he taught himself English. He became an impeccable English speaker. He was all into Christianity. And then he started propagating his own variation of what he learned from white people, which was him now having a rogue sexual activity with other non-white people and indoctrinating them with the Bible. These would be, you know, people, native indigenous people here that he would come into contact with that would ended up being owned by the same white people who raped him. And then he would end up having these wild sexual relationships with these non-white people, thus indoctrinating them into what he was indoctrinated to. So his story is a great example, and it's no knock on him. He's a victim, so it's not me, you know, trying to disrespect the memory of his ancestor. But it's the fact that you then, by that brutalization and that schooling, you become an agent of your own destruction, and then you spread the disease that was given to you by the original enemy in the first place. Thank you so much, and I'll meet you online, brother.
All right, man, we got to get out of here. I just want to thank you all for joining us today. Much love, much respect. Listen, get coins, nickels and pennies, 2017, if it has a P on it. That's what you want to look for. Collect those, save those, and, you know, just do some of the small things. We're going to continue this to give you some other things. Much love, much respect. And never goodbye. Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to ask, where would the P be located on the penny? Just so I know where to look for it. Or should it be anywhere on the penny with a P that's
there? It's going to be just behind the head, below the head of Lincoln, before the number. In between the body and the head is going to be right there, okay? You'll see it. It'll be a large P. It's the only thing around it, okay? Much love, much respect, everyone. We'll talk to you, and then I'll post a picture of it inside of in Tandel Radio Show. Much love, much respect. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. This is why I got to talk so fast, because we're getting ready to get out of here. Talk to you later. Peace.